gospel reading. We are now in the second of four consecutive Sundays during which we will hear successive readings from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as recorded in the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel. As many of you know, the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most challenging, most controversial, and most convicting teachings of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount has often been described as both radical and revolutionary. And we saw that last week in the nine blessings or beatitudes with which Jesus opens the sermon. The beatitudes which describe the blessed community to which we have been called as Christians, community in which we find blessing upon those who are poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and those who are reviled, persecuted, and slandered for Jesus' sake. That is the community that we are called to be, a place in which those characteristics will receive their proper blessing, where God's favor can be felt. It is a community that is very different from any that had inhabited the world to that point. And, as we well know, it is a community that is hard to see, even in the church sometimes, especially in those times when large portions of the church have offered the least contrast to the world around it, when the church has decided in some sense to make peace with the world or to submit to the powers of this world rather than to stand in stark contrast with those powers. On the two Sundays still ahead of us, as Jesus teaches on topics of anger, forgiveness, sin, fidelity, truth-telling, violence, and love of one's enemies, we will see more of the revolutionary character of this sermon and its contrast with the values of the wider world. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is describing a kingdom that is breaking into this world through his life and witness, and through the life and witness of that community of people that has been called to follow him. In today's passage, Jesus is talking about a different aspect of the character of this community, the community that will, after his life, death, and resurrection, become the church, the community to which we belong. In using the metaphors of salt and light, Jesus makes it clear that this community, to which he is calling his disciples both then and now, this community must be both distinct and visible. We are the salt of the earth. When you add us to the mix, things will taste different. Things will have a new flavor. If we are doing our job, we will be noticed. We are the light of the world, the city built on the hill. We cannot be true to our calling if we are hidden or invisible. Unfortunately, one tempting strategy that we often see utilized by those trying to deal with the difficult teachings of the Sermon on the Mount is to try to spiritualize those teachings. When Jesus talks about the nine categories of blessing, this strategy would say that we are really, or that he is really just talking about an inward spiritual disposition. So, for example, hunger and thirsting for righteousness is merely talking about directing one's inward prayer life toward God, not our outward witness towards God's justice in this world. According to this strategy, when Jesus tells the crowds to turn the other cheek, to give to those who beg from him, from them, to love one's enemies, we certainly can't take him literally, because if we are to run this world properly, we can't really be expected to live that way. So this strategy tells us that Jesus is merely describing some future hoped for reality, not giving us a current roadmap. But those who devise this strategy often overlook or further spiritualize the clear message of the passage that we heard today. Jesus is not telling the crowd how to run the world. Instead, Jesus is telling the crowd how to be witnesses to the world. To be a witness to the world, we must be salt whose flavor is striking and unmistakable. We must be light, light that is not hidden, but that shines for all the world to see. We as the church must be the city on the hill that cannot be hidden. We are called to be a peculiar people, a people who don't quite fit in, a people who stand out for our devotion for the way of life that was embodied in our Savior and in the saints who followed in his footsteps. One of the challenges for the church in this present day, in this time in our history, is that for many of us, we grew up in a world where the church had learned how not to be peculiar. We grew up in a world where going to church on Sunday morning was something that respectable folks were expected to do. And for the most part, the folks who the world judged as respectable met that expectation. As a result, the world that we grew up seeing in church didn't always look that different from the world outside of church. So it would at times appear that the salt had lost its flavor, for it no longer stood in contrast to the wider world. And once the salt has lost its flavor, it can be difficult to stomach that flavor again. So that when a church tries to challenge itself to be peculiar in contrast to the ways of the world, there can be a strong counter reaction. Why rock the boat when things are going so well? There are many reasons that I felt particularly called to come to St. Andrew's as your rector. However, one of the reasons is that St. Andrew's and churches like St. Andrew's have in a variety of ways figured out already how to be peculiar. In a multitude of ways, this community, this parish, is peculiar and is very comfortable with its peculiarity. Peculiarity. This parish has been a welcoming parish for a long time, in ways that not too long ago were very countercultural here in Greenville, South Carolina. So we are comfortable with not quite fitting in. In addition, as an Anglo-Catholic parish, we worship in ways that appear peculiar to many in the wider culture, not to mention the peculiar hat that your priest often wears. So we don't feel the need to be all things to all people. And when it comes to feeding the hungry, we also do something peculiar. We feed them here, in our parish house, not at a safe distance. So we are comfortable with taking a little risk for the sake of the gospel. As a result, St. Andrew's, by being a place that has been willing to be peculiar, may be a little bit better prepared for the next phase in the journey of the church in the wider world today. For we have never lost our saltiness. With that said, we must always make sure that the ways in which we are being peculiar are the ways in which Jesus calls us to be different. We are not called to be different for the sake of being different. We are called to be different because that is a consequence of following Jesus in this world. This is our calling, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the light to the world, the city set on a hill, so that the world might see our good works, and that through them